Relax the back, solutions for back pain. Feel better, work better, live better. Don't let back pain keep you from the golf course. Let our specially trained associates guide you to the perfect solution for your discomfort. Relax the back, now selling the mattresses of the future. The most comfortable bed you will ever sleep on. State-of-the-art mattresses and pillows for better sleep and a healthy lifestyle. We offer a complete line of comfort solution products that will improve posture, circulation, and overall health, including a wide array of ergonomic office solutions, back support, height-adjustable desks, fitness and therapy products, and the best selections of zero-gravity recliners available anywhere. Relax the Back Solutions for back pain, the country's leading specialty retailer of neck and back pain relief and back comfort products, as well as world-class massage chairs, located at 6343 Penn Avenue. Call 412-362-2225. That's 412-362-2225. Online at relaxtheback.com. Before every Steelers game, don't miss the Mike and Dave's Black and Gold pregame show, the best and most comprehensive Pittsburgh pregame show, taking you right up to kickoff.
We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
All the Steelers insiders from the Trib and exclusive Steeler player interviews, plus live reports from the stadiums, all right here on Trib Live Radio. The Mike and Dave's Black and Gold pregame show is brought to you by Mike and Dave's Italian Bread Place, Deli and Catering in Greentree, and Mike and Dave's Boardwalk Sandwich Shop in Brentwood on Sawmill Run Boulevard, right across from Getco. Go online to theitalianbreadplace.com and watch the Super Sub being made.
Line up and play football.
You get where you feel like you can rush the quarterback. You understand? Rush the quarterback.
Trib Live Radio presents the Mark Cavalli Show. Every Monday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. with your fresh Steelers reaction.
Not let that damn quarterback out of there.
Steeler Deacon.
The Steel Mill is live right now on Trib Live Radio. Here's your host, Mark Cavalli.
I like it.
One of these days, I'm actually going to have time to prepare for a show. But we don't do that here on the Cavalli Show. We wing it. And it seems like every single Monday I'm racing over from the Steelers facility. And that's good news and that's bad news. The bad news is I don't have any time to prepare, so we just go off the cuff. Just like you're sitting in your man cave with your buddy talking sports, which I find it quite interesting. I was at Red Lobster the other day, and the guy next to me was talking about Josh Scobie and how terrible. I just thought that was funny. But the good news is you get some fresh sound from the locker room, and nothing will be fresher than Martavis Bryant, fresh off his 4-game suspension, was in uniform, taking part in the Steelers, as Mike Tomlin puts it, his get-right day. Kind of funny because they got two get-right days heading into San Diego on Monday. By the way, this is Mark Cavalli. This is the Cavalli Show. We're here every Monday, 2 to 3, sometimes 2:08 to 3:04, depending if Josh Taylor wants to talk pocket squares or not. It's what time we get done. You can watch us on Periscope, too, I'm sure. You know, I did a Periscope at I did a little bit of a thing when we were in St. Louis, a little experiment. It went kind of awry. There was only 4 people there. I'll talk about that. I can't talk about that on the air. We're here to talk Steelers. And I'll be 100% honest with you. I was in on the gangbang with Martavis Bryant, full disclosure, and I had no clue what he said. There's a lot of people there. I was able to ask him a couple questions at the end. So when the gangbang, the group moved out. So I can't sit here. What I'm telling you is I can't sit here and tell you what he said, because first of all, there was too many people there. And second of all, he was kind of quiet. So you know what? Why don't we all listen to what Martavis Bryant said together? And I sure hope my droid picked this up, because he's kind of a slow talker. Kind of a quick talk. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't go to this. That wouldn't help our Periscope fans now, would it? We'll talk about it anyways. We'll get to him in a couple minutes. I'm going to tease you a little bit here because, you know, if you want to watch, you got to look on some Periscope. We'll talk about Martavis Bryant. We'll get into the kicker first. We'll get into the kicker, then we'll go to Martavis. We'll make you wait a little bit. Who is even the kicker's name now? I can't even remember. I wrote a whole story on him Saturday, and I put him as, what's his name, Chris Boswell? I put it as Chris Bosley. I guess it was close to Tom Boswell. Anybody watch Happy Days? You know, Tom Bosley. So I don't even know who this guy is, and I'm trying to figure out how this all come about, this so-called workout at Heinz Field between Kai Forbath, between Chris Boswell, and between somebody else who's escaping my mind that must not be any good because he didn't get the call. I mean, what does Mike Tomlin do at this point? Does he put – this is what I imagine. He puts three balls at the 40-yard line and says on three, one, two, three, the first ball that gets kicked through the upright, you got the job. I don't know. I mean, why are you going veteran, 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 as in Swisham, Hartley, Scobie, then all of a sudden, forget it, we're going with the guy that's never kicked before in my life. Kind of interesting. I don't know. I would have stayed with Scobie. I would have gave him another week. And you know what? I would have let Scobie kick the 51-yarder. Was it in overtime? It could have been overtime. It's been so long ago. Who knows? The 51-yarder, I would have let him kick that ball as well. I mean, he is a professional who has been in this league for 12 years. But who would have thought? My goodness, I swear to God, if we rewind this show back to August 10th, I was probably sitting here going off on some diatribe about how kickers are all the same and nobody cares and Sean Swisham won't be missed at all, that there's a million kickers out there that can do what Sean Swisham does and it's not going to make any difference. See, in other shows, we wouldn't bring up the host's mistakes, but, you know, we'll bring it up here. I was totally wrong. Unless, I don't think it can be that difficult, right? It cannot be that difficult to find a kicker, and the Steelers can't seem to be able to find one. Could this be the guy? Your guess is as good as mine. Flip a coin. Sort of like Buccos and Cubs on Wednesday. Flip a coin. Who knows? Same with this kicker. Flip a coin. I don't know. Maybe he is your next Jeff Reed, minus the paper towel dispenser and the blonde hair and all that stuff. What's interesting about Bosley, Boswell, Bosworth? Maybe I'll just call him Bosworth. If I'm dating myself there. The Boss. Maybe we just call him the Boss. Call him the Boss. I mean, interesting to me is the guy can punt. He punted like 15 times. I forget again. In his past, he punted 15 times in a year or something like that. So he can punt. I don't think he's any better than Jordan Berry, but he gives you an option. You never know when your punter's hurt. And I think last night New Orleans game, their punter got hurt. So I think that prevented them from punting. We're sitting here talking about punts. What we should be talking about is the Steelers and Mike Vick. Did you hear? I see a report out here, and I don't know where the report's coming from. You know this infamous doctor, Dr. David Chow? You ever hear about him? He puts out a report today, which the guy apparently knows what he's talking about. I mean, I'm just guessing because whatever. He's a former NFL doctor on the sidelines, and he's saying that all of a sudden he was saying that Ben was going to be out longer than 4 weeks, bone bruise significant. He comes out with a story today saying, you know what? It's probably going to be returning here sometime in October. And sometime in October means what? Next three games. I don't know if I do that. I believe Benzie, and I'm sure, I mean, I'm guilty. I don't listen to the Ben show and the Ken show. You know, I got other stuff going on at that point. But I'm quite sure Benzie's been on the high horse about Ben coming back early, right? There's a reason why he sucks in the games come back, because he comes back too early. I mean, I'm sure Benzie is really applied that ad nauseum. Speaking of Benzie, I'm going to have to ask you, Josh, because you're here a little bit. Benzie go off on the old Ben cell phone gate?
Yes, he did.
Clue me in. I always love Benzie's
stories. Well, he talked more about the Twitter war that he got into with New England fans. over the whole Ben Roethlisberger cell phone.
I always thought he was a New England homer, but then he's not. It's on certain things he's New England homerish.
Yeah,
it's not homerish, but you know what I'm saying.
It's a very, very, what's the word you're looking for? It's not love-hate. It's
hate-hate.
It's not schadenfreude. It's just, it's odd to try to characterize it.
Well, let me tell you this. I'll put this all to rest right now. I know the Steelers made a comment about this. I saw it when it happened, too, and I thought it was, I'm like, holy cow, what is he doing there? But then I'm like, Ben doesn't, he doesn't piss with his cell phone. I mean, that's stupid. I thought maybe it was his remote to his headphones or whatever. Steelers said it was his flip card. NFL said it was his flip card. And I actually talked to somebody on the South Side less than an hour ago that explained to me it was 100% the 3x5 card that he normally wears on his arm. And all it was in a protective thing because it could have been raining. And he was looking at it. I mean, seriously, you think about it. You talk about a story about nothing. Who actually, other than our Periscope fans, holds their phone like this, you know, horizontal? When you're pissing with your phone, you're holding it straight up and down. So much to do about nothing on that one as I digress from the real story of Ben's injury. And this Dr. David Chow, I think that's his name, just like Dan, no, is that Danny Chen, right? I'm sure, where's he at, North Dakota, South Dakota, our former intern here. So what he said was, Big Ben likely back sooner. And he said the positive news was the no crutches. Since he didn't have crutches on, which means it's weight-bearing, a significant bone bruise in or near a joint requires non-weight-bearing status. The fact that Roethlisberger was allowed to walk around with crutches indicates the bone bruise is minor or not in a significant area. So things have changed all of a sudden. And I saw Ben on Friday, and he still wasn't wearing it. It wasn't like he was putting on a show just for the cameras, although he was probably putting on a show for the cameras. And I didn't see him today. So, I mean, good news is on the way. And I'm sure you guys have heard people talk about the Ben and the Vic. One thing I've learned from Vic, and I'm not saying Vic played great, but I'm not going to say Vic played terrible, but what everybody out there needs to come to the conclusion of is what type of quarterback, you know what type of quarterback you think you have here. At Hall of Fame, just spews out of your mouth like nothing. He's an unbelievable quarterback. Take him away and put a pretty accomplished quarterback, albeit 35 years old, in there. And it's absolutely night and day. You should just be sitting here just wowing at the stuff that he's able to do, Roethlisberger. And I truly believe that he's he wasn't like this 3, 4, 5 years ago. This has only been 3 years ago that he's been able to do what he's been able to do. And a lot of it's more than just throwing accurate. It's about getting you into the right position. It doesn't matter what defense a team plays. If he goes up there and goes, okay, blah, 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 8 in the box, double high safety, they're going to rotate to the right. I can see they're disguising. Let's call this. 9 out of 10 times he's right. And Mike Vick, you're not going to get that. You know what Mike Vick's hoping? Okay, where is Antonio supposed to go in this play? Let me think. And it's not me ripping on Mike Vick. Mike Vick had one practice. And that one practice consisted of something I've never saw before in my life. It was a walkthrough. There was no helmets. Even for the most part, if they do no pads, they're going to wear helmets every single time. They didn't even have helmets on last Tuesday. So how much is he going to get out of that? And I think that directly affected what Todd Haley did. It was only one bigger Todd Haley apologist than myself, and that would be you, Josh. But there's no doubt in my mind those shackles were on tight early in that game. I can imagine what the conversation was. Mike, do not screw up. Do not turn over the ball. Punting's not a bad option. When in doubt, throw it away. Don't force anything. Let's play late, and our kicker's going to win it for us.
You hang out with Todd Haley at one Halloween party, and everybody labels you an apologist.
You going to win this year? They're home on Halloween.
I'm going to the same party again this year.
And it's Halloween's on Saturday.
Halloween's on Saturday.
And they play the next day at home, I think.
It was the same thing as last year. They played the next day at home, and it just so happens my buddy is Todd Haley's neighbor, so we could see him a second year in a row.
I had a couple adult beverages with Mr. and Mrs. Haley up at training camp. Nice individuals.
Very nice people.
But those shackles are on. Now I'm not talking about Mr. and Mrs. Haley. I'm talking about Mr. Haley and Mr. Vic. And you know what? This is exactly how the Steelers played forever before Ben. Don't make mistakes. Let's run the ball. Don't turn it over. Let's be there in an end, and let's find a way to win. And it was absolutely, we thought it was great football here. Now we look, and it's like boring. It's just boring crap that we saw on Thursday. It was just garbage, but that's how you have to win games like this, which leads me back to Big Ben and how much of a joy it is now watching him. I never thought I would say that. Because he was a one-read guy 5 years ago. He was one read and go. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it's Haley or what it is. But moving forward against San Diego, they have to let him try. Vic told me the other day, and he probably said it here again now. We'll listen to Vic, what he said about an hour ago, that Baltimore is taking away the deep stuff. I don't know. I don't think that he wanted to try the deep stuff, but when you got Martavis Bryant back, you're going to have to open things up a little bit. You know, and you can't blame everything on Todd Haley. I mean, he put a pro quarterback who has been in this league 15 years, I don't care how long he's played, he put you in position to move the chains on fourth down. It was open. A pro quarterback, I mean, a lot of high school quarterbacks can make that throw. He puts you in position. You just have to have faith in your quarterback to make that throw. And that was one throw that Vic did not make. And the other ones had to do with Antonio Brown. I think three different ones with Antonio. And two of them are, you can tell, I asked Antonio today, and they're not on the same page. And a lot of that is just by feel. If Antonio is running something across the middle and the safety of their corners in front of him, and that's where the ball's supposed to be, Antonio just goes behind him, and Ben knows it and throws it. Vice versa, if he's behind him, he goes in front of him. Vic doesn't know that. He throws it to the spot. And Vic not going to know that. He's not going to know that if it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now. He's just not going to get that type of thing together. What you got to do is get Le'Veon Bell involved more than he was, more in the passing game. Get the ball any way you can to Antonio Brown. You've got to hand the ball off. Quick stuff, not the quick stuff over the middle, not timing stuff. I'm talking about the bubble screen. They had a couple. Get him the ball, easy throws like that, then take your shots. And I think we'll see a totally different game plan and feel from Vic. Now he gets practice on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He has five practices and a walkthrough before the San Diego game Sunday. So he's going to be a little bit more prepared, I do believe. And I think you'll see all the difference in the world with Vic against the San Diego Chargers. I think it's a good time for Martavis Bryant to talk now, huh? We'll talk Martavis Bryant. Like I said, I'm not quite sure what he said, so I'll be listening to him with himself. I know one thing. I was standing right in the stall of Dre Archer, and he was able to maneuver around me quite easily. He's quite a slippery individual. But this is, hey, we'll listen to it together. Martavis, Brian, I did jump into the end here. But I heard some of it. It was a lot of talk about how there was a lot of, hey, I don't want to get into this too type of stuff. But here, this is Martavis Bryant, the now activated, unsuspended wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He practiced today on the south side about an hour ago, and this is what he said to us media folk afterwards.
Well, I seek to help outside of the facility, and I thought the Steelers could get back focused on the right. You know, now I'm back here focused, get a pair of things in the past, and move forward my career.
Would you spend 2-3 weeks in Houston, Martavis?
I was there 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yes, what are some of the things that you learned and how much different you feel when you're back?
I learned a lot about myself, you know, especially from the mistake that I made. And also, you know, I learned from it. Now I just want to move forward. It's a career thing in my past. Just work on becoming a better part.
Can you help this team now?
whatever they need me to do, I'm here to help. You know, I'm going to give you my all. I'm in practice working hard. You know, if I work hard in practice, everything will transfer over into the game.
Did you keep in touch those 3 weeks you were out with anybody here?
Yeah, Ben was talking to me every morning, you know, and I highly appreciate him doing that, taking time out to text me every morning, especially during the season when he was focused on his job.
What did he tell you about football, how things were going? What did he talk about?
I'd rather keep that between me and him and what we talked about.
How difficult was it to sit and watch at home, watch your teammates play, not be able to play?
It was hard for me to sit there and watch it, but at the same time that my brother saw it was just recording.
Martavis, do you have any different perspective on football now after going to that for a couple weeks?
I've been playing football since I was 6 years old, you know, so it ain't no different to me. You know, once I'm back in the back, I'm ready to get back focused on that, too.
How about you?
Just about learning from your mistakes, you know, and how to prevent mistakes from happening. Becoming a better man.
Were you able to watch a video and stuff of games while you were down there?
I was watching the game every day. Every Sunday they were playing, I was watching the game.
They send you video, too? I mean, how do you tap into that stuff to
I'd rather keep it between me and what was going on, but I made sure I watched the game and everything.
Martavis, you and Michael went to fight a few times off of this relationship.
We got a lot of work this week in practice here on Monday, so we're going to be able to come off here and see if we're ready for Monday in practice.
Do you feel like a comfort level with you and Mike, considering what happened in the preseason game?
I feel like he has more confidence in me, knowing that I would be there for him to have his back, you know, just like I was back with him. So we just want to continue work, continue to progress.
Do you expect to move right into number 3 again?
I have no control over that. All I can do is work hard at practice and make the coaches make their decision.
How did you work out?
I was seeking counseling, but I also was working out twice a day as well.
Just working out like in the weight room and stuff like that? Or
lifting weights.
To catch passes from anyone?
Yeah, my training.
Oh, good arm?
Yeah, good arm.
Can you share with us what the counseling entailed? Was it conversations? Was it group sessions? How did it not play out?
I would rather keep it between me and my counselor. I don't really want to talk about
it. Thank you very much.
You're down in Houston. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
How you doing?
What's it like?
Just a constant. Is it like you're in a seven? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And now, what do you feel? I know they said, what did you learn about yourself? But did you get a better understanding of kind of the consequences and your actions and what lies ahead, I guess, and what's going on?
Learn how to be a better man about my consequences of what I do and how to make better decisions and how to prevent those mistakes from happening again. So I really learned a lot about myself and how to keep myself out of certain situations that would get me in trouble.
What was John like, Lucas?
He's a great man, you know. He took care of me down there and made sure I made sure I was there, did everything right. And John's a great man, and if anyone wants seeking help, I advise him to go to him.
And you did this on your own, huh? Arranging this. I mean, it was your idea to go do this, is that correct? Or was it a team doing it?
I'd rather keep that between me and you. I don't really want to say who I did, but I didn't do that.
Do you feel your issues are behind you?
Yeah. My issues are behind me now. I'm going to move forward in my career and be a better role model for the kids and sustain the work and team and put a good image out there about myself now.
And you're confident this won't happen again?
I'm confident it won't happen again. And like I said, I just want to put this in the past.
Thanks, Lucas.
I'm confident that this won't happen again. That sounds like something you put on your freaking tombstone if it happens again. But Martavis Bryant apparently is back, and there was some pandering. Not pandering. There was some narrative that said that the Steelers might hold him out. That's not going to happen. If Martavis, I mean, I don't believe they need to make a roster move until next Tuesday if they keep him active, if they don't activate him. So they're going to activate him. He's going to play. And, you know, when in doubt, throw the ball up to Martavis Bryant. He said all the right things there. He was in the practice. He was in the Steelers practice facility on Friday. He declined to comment until today, until he got a practice under his belt, and that's what he's able to do. And like I said, you would imagine that he would be a big part of the game plan in San Diego. I know it was only a preseason game, but two receptions, 99 yards. Mike Vick to Martavis. One was just a heave-ho, go get. And when you're 6'5", I'll tell you a real quick story about what happened in practice today. Mike Vick threw a ball across the middle to one Martavis Bryant. It was over his head by a good 7 feet. Mind you, Martavis Bryant, 6'5". And Mike Tomlin screams, "Come on, 10, go up and get that." I'm thinking, hey, 7, how about pushing that down a little bit? So they have a lot of confidence in Martavis Bryant, and I think they'll be all right moving forward. I mean, they might come back in this game against Baltimore, and you're going to slap yourself in the mouth because that was a game you should have won. You're up 13 points, your kicker. I mean, it wasn't the best coach game in the world by Mike Tomlin. Put it this way, if Mike Tomlin was looking for another coaching job, if he wants to go down to Miami, who just fired Joe Philbin, he doesn't put the Baltimore game on his top of his resume. You conveniently leave that one out because that's a game they should have won. There were some interesting decisions made there. Going for it on fourth down twice is not a bad thing. I probably would have punted it once. But I talked to Todd Haley about this last year, and he told me flat out, straight up, I need to know if we're going for it on four downs before the series starts. That totally changes the way I call the series. So what I'm saying is I don't think he knew that he was going to go for it on four downs right there, or he would have ran the ball more often. The Vic play was stupid. The outside, the bootleg, the keeper, short side of the field, why you were lining up, and Alejandro Villanueva to the right. What is that going to do for me? I guess you're trying to keep your big package in if you're the Baltimore Ravens because you see another tackle come in, but then you run to the short side of the field. It was just a weird play, and like I said, nothing against the throw that ultimately cost them the game. The rushing, Steelers got to clean that up. Stephon Tuitt was out of his gaps at times. Some missed tackles as well. But all of a sudden, you know what? Those losses don't look that bad. They lose to the Patriots, giving up 28. And Patriots just whipping everybody. 49ers, man, they've only gave up 17 to Green Bay. Green Bay and Steelers score 40-some-odd against them. St. Louis shut them down, and they go and beat Seattle and Arizona. So hard to be able to figure this out. When we return here on the Cabali Show on Triple Live Radio, we'll have Mike Vick see what he has to say, and we will talk more Steelers, of course, because you know why? This is a Steelers show. We'll be back in a minute here on the Cabali Show.
Now back to the Mark Cabali Show on Trib Live Radio.
We're back here on the show. This is Mark Cabali, and we are here every Monday, 2 to 3, although I guess next week we'll be going remotely. Sort of. I think Josh Taylor will pick up the ball and give me a call out in Sand Dog. What's that, 2 o'clock there, here? 11 a.m. San Diego. I guess that's better than the 9 a.m. from New England. Oh, I feel like having a good rant out of the week, and there's just so many good rants out there. But, you know, like I always say, I'm the nice guy. And I don't know if I really want to be a guy who rants a lot. Come on, you know that. You know I'm just giving you a line of BS right here. The rant of the week. I don't even know. You know, it's tough. Everything's getting blurred right now about rants and non-rants. Is it a rant? Is it a complaint? Or is it just a, you know, a very Seinfeld episode? Is it just something I notice that is kind of weird? I don't know. Maybe I should just delete the rant of the weeks. Does anybody really care? Josh Taylor says he cares. Forget it. I'm not doing one. So I did all that for nothing. I'll rant about Mike Vick then. I do have a little rant. I hate when games like happen Thursday night. I know you really care about a beat writer trying to write on deadline, but when seven different things happen in the last 2 minutes of the game. What about, it's just being reported that Randy Bullock and Kai Forbath are now working out for the Buccaneers tomorrow. They're getting around there, aren't they? All right, Mike Vick, let's break down what he does better or what he needs to do more. Talked to him just a little bit ago on the south side. He talked about a little Martavis coming back, some of the game plan that happened. Let's hear what Mike Vick has to say, and we will talk about it afterwards. Mike Vick about an hour and a half ago.
You know, what he does for our, you know, for our offense allows us to do certain things, stretching the field. We definitely got to put the ball in his hands and find ways to get him the ball, but it's going to help everybody else.
Mike, it looked at times in the game the other day that you and maybe Antonio couldn't quite get the connection right. Do you guys have to work a little bit more at that?
Yeah, we just got
to
work hard, man. We got to work hard each and every day. I'm learning every day. He's seasoned. He understands the offense. He knows everything that the offense entails. And I'm trying to get there. So it's all about us talking through. Spending the time this week to try to make sure we get it right.
Looking back, a second look at the game. Did you guys maybe throw the ball down the field a little more? It looked like you were having some success when you did that.
I could have done a little more, but I think our game plan was to try to, run the football, get the ball into the, hands of the guys, at the appropriate time and not try to force it. We was getting a lot of double coverage back there. And when they're playing too high safety, you can't just force the ball down the field. You'll be throwing the ball in double coverage all day. And I think Todd did a good job of, putting the game plan together so that, we was able to execute, the way we could execute and, make the plays that we can make at the appropriate times.
The plays you got sacked on, do you remember, were those more longer down the field?
Yeah, those was down the field. Some of those was down the field passes, and, a couple of them I shouldn't have took sacks on. So two sacks I shouldn't have took.
How Martavis look out there? He looked like a guy that hasn't been around for a month.
Martavis looked motivated. He looked strong. He's very, very impressive right now. That's the way he looks since I got here. I haven't known him too long, but getting to know him, he's a great kid, wants to win, and believes in himself.
You had Buffalo, right? You two guys.
Yeah.
Hooked up in Buffalo.
Yeah, hooked up in Buffalo. Actually, my first play here, as a Steeler, so that was kind of monumental.
I don't know if monumental is the word. It was a preseason game of 66 yards. Mike Vick, his numbers were 19 of 25, 124, a touchdown, 99.4 QB rating. Didn't throw the ball deep very much. He only threw it twice over 20 yards or longer than 20 yards of two. And obviously one of them should have been caught. Actually, the fourth down play that Antonio dropped, he blamed it on himself as well. He blamed it on the way he was holding his hands. His hands should have been up in the air rather than cradle or something like that. That might be true, but he probably wasn't expecting the ball to be thrown 17 feet over his head either. So, and Vic, what all we've been saying here is what Vic said there. Teams are going to force him to throw some of those on-rhythm passes underneath. They know he has a cannon, but you don't want to throw it into two high deep safeties unless you got Martavis Bryant. That's what he probably should have said, because he's able to bring down the ball at any point. Like I said, I don't think Mike Vick played terrible of a game, considering what he had to do, what he was asked to do. It would have helped if the defense was playing a little bit better. What about that defense? By the way, when do you think Ben will be back? I'm just speaking out loud here. I think he might be back for, I don't even have the schedule in front of me, Kansas City, Arizona, Kansas City. Then who they come home to? I forget. Arizona, Kansas City. Then they come home for three, I believe. Put it this way. He'll be back before the bye. He'll be back before Pouncey. Seattle, Cleveland, Oakland. Maybe that Oakland game. That would be a good game to come back for. I think they go to San Diego, home to Arizona, to Kansas City, home with, help me out here, Josh, Cincinnati. That's the game he probably wants to come back for, the Bengals game. They looked pretty solid yesterday. However, once again, they gave up a lot of passing yards. However, they forced, what, 7 field goals out of those passing yards. That's 2 weeks in a row they gave up a ton of passing yards. They gave up a ton to Alex Smith. They gave up a ton to Joe Flacco. But what about this Steelers defense? I wrote about this as I transitioned into something else. We'll get to some. If you guys want to tweet me, go ahead. I was going to answer some questions here. I got a couple here that I will get to here in a little bit. But the defense, let's talk about the defense here. I got two things to talk about the defense. First of all, Ryan Shazier was back at practice today. He confirmed that afterwards, although there won't be a practice report. So he's all set to go. What about Brandon Boykin getting no? I think everybody out there that jumped on my rear end saying that Brandon Boykin was the fourth best corner when he got traded for should owe me apology. Care of Trib Live Studios, 503 Martindale Street, floor 6. Send money. But defense. I am just totally getting off track here because last week I was tired. This week I'm just rattled. I'm rattled. You know, I got a bone bruise and an MCL sprain myself, but nobody really cares. I've been hobbling around for months. I don't see anybody monitoring if I'm on crutches or not. Two things came away from that defense the other day. Number one was the big thing was the amount of pressure they put on Joe Flacco and where that pressure came from. For the love of God, I'm going to look up my story. I can't remember the exact numbers, but they brought the corners and safeties so many times. It was unbelievable. And that last two drives, I think the overtime drive, that they were just bringing them left and right. It was Mitchell. It was Gay. It was Mitchell and Gay. It was Blake. It was Cockrell. I mean, you don't see anything like that. I have the stats of how many times they've rushed corners slash D-backs, blitzers, over to in the Mike Tomlin era, but some of those are skewed because Troy Polamalu, because obviously he's a little bit different of a player. I mean, I don't really view him as a guy that's blitzing like they did against Flacco. I mean, they're on pace for 144 blitzes, 9 per game by defensive backs. That's the most under the Tomlin era. The only one close was 07 when they had 133. But we're talking years of 69, 67, 89, 85. And that's what you can get from this secondary to create pressure. You don't need to have pressure. This isn't your grandpa's defense. You don't have to have the outside linebackers create the 25 type of sacks. I mean, Keith Butler said there's tweaks to this defense. He was going to go tweak, tweak, tweak. I think they're tweaking a lot. Think about it. In the years past, you were getting outside linebackers rushing the passer, getting your sacks. Now who's getting your sacks? Or at least pressures. Maybe not sacks because those corners and safeties, I think Will Allen might be the only one that has a sack. It's coming from the secondary. It's coming from the defensive linemen. And that's stuff you didn't see around there. That's more than a tweak. That is definitely more than a tweak. But what I like about this defense is it is so multiple. We have yet to even really see a ton of cover two. And how some of us, not me, was talking in the spring that you thought they were going to be the Tampa 2, 2002 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I just didn't see that ever coming. And it hasn't. You thought they were going to go a lot of 4-3. They've done a little bit of 4-3. They had some zone blitzes. How many times did I see Stephon Tuitt and or Cam Hayward dropping the covers yesterday? That's some tweak stuff. And I do believe I wrote a story after the Patriots game and Kenny Laird God bless his heart, and was making fun of me because I said this defense had the ability to get better quick just because they had young guys who can improve. Last year they didn't. They just had the old fogies that were going to be as good as they were going to be. These guys can get better. And who in the world saw this from Ross Cockrell? Don't you think the Buffalo Bills wish they had Ross Cockrell back with that secondary right now? How does that happen? How does people cut him, don't think you're any good, and he comes to a team and he not only starts, I mean, not only plays, he performs. That pick was of something of beauty, and I'm not quite sure if that was him improvising, which I don't think it was. I think it was a lot of call with the Butler call coming off his guy and switching. And that fumble recovery was just something to I'm talking to this defense like it's like the – I referred to him as Blitzberg Light, Blitzberg 2.0. I don't even know what that means. But they're finding different ways to be able to be successful. And if I told you before the season that this defense would play like this, you would think this team would be 4-0 right now. I mean, they're going to be tested, though. Let me tell you that. I'm still not sold on the secondary. I know that. You got some tough ones coming up. Phil Rivers seems to be pushing up 300 every week now. Carson Palmer putting up 300 every week. Alex Smith put 380 last week. Andy Dalton. That's four guys that are just absolutely huge right there. The second thing I have an issue with this defense is this. Jarvis Jones and James Harrison. You might sit there and tell me that James Harrison's a beast and da 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 da. I sat there. I'm the one who asked Joey Porter that question on that May 1st day after they drafted Anthony Ciccolo, saying, what do you expect snap-wise from James Harrison? He said, we got to limit what he can do, 25 snaps. He's averaging 40. Maybe Joey thought I said Jarvis Jones. He's averaging 29. Harrison has one sack. Hasn't been nearly as disruptive as he was in some games last year. You see him on the field more for making mistakes, where letting people run free. There's no indictment of James Harrison. But this is what I was worried about when they signed him. We're 4 weeks, we're a quarter into the season, and we know absolutely nothing more than from Jarvis Jones than we knew from him a month ago. You can't have 29 snaps a game. You can't be having games where there's 25, 26 snaps and think you're getting a good read on the guy because you're not. Bud Dupree's right there with a ton of snaps as well. I understand that. But this is what I do understand. The Steelers have to make a decision on Jarvis Jones in April. Do you pick up his fifth-year option or not? Right now, I don't know. What do you do? You have no clue. You know what I do know? James Harrison's 38 next year. Not going to be able to rely on him. I don't know. Are they trying to run the wheels off of James Harrison? Does he deserve to have 50 snaps a game? I don't think so. Those numbers should be flipped around. If Jarvis Jones continuously struggles, which he hasn't, he's just been nondescript. It's like, okay, Jarvis is doing a little bit, hasn't done much. And I've asked him this number of times, and he tells me, straight to my face, I don't look at the snaps, blah, blah, I don't care about the snaps. But as a reporter, if you're a reporter, if you know, if you've been around the team, there's a difference with what people say and what they look at you and how they say it. Of course it's an issue. And I just don't know why they feel the need not to give him a ton of – I understand. Here's another strange thing. Last year or in years past, it was just – we have to play every single defensive lineman we have. If it's six guys, we have to play them all. No, they only dress two, or at least two worth of crap. I worry about that defensive line as well, but not as much as that outside linebacker spot. I want to know if Jarvis Jones is a bum or not. And you can't. You might tell me he's a bum, he gets pushed off the ball, but you know what? Harrison is not head and shoulders above anybody to be able to deserve two-thirds more snap than Jarvis Jones. So that's what I was worried about, and it's come to fruition. And what's going to end up happening is Harrison's going to break down, and then you're not going to have him. What would you rather have, a 50-snap James Harrison for 6 games or 8 games or a 25-snap for 16 games? I'd rather have 25. Maybe that was my rant. All right, let's get to some of your questions before me and Josh Taylor talks about socks and pocket squares and ugly suits. I got a couple questions on the tweeter machine. I haven't looked at it in a while, so maybe we do. Have you seen the new kicker in practice? Mike Wojnarowski says, is that really your name, Wojnarowski? I saw him today. He's a very skinny man, and he was fake kicking. They snapped, they held, and he pretended to kick. So that's about as best as I can do for you right now. Any word on Wheaton injury? I saw him walking around today, no limp. Didn't practice, though. So I cannot tell you that. Jeremy Tunney must have been reading my mind with the old Jarvis Jones rant. So we'll get off of that. What about Bud Dupree going to be a starter? I don't think he's going to be named a starter because, I mean, Moats would have to sit, but he's getting, you know, significantly more snaps than Moats, so he's the de facto starter. Chris Levy, Levy. I'm bad with names. Any chance Ben could return October 18th, a game against the Arizona Cardinals? I think it's a little too early. Look more towards Cincinnati. If the earliest, I still think they should be a little bit. It might depend on where they're at. I mean, if you're 4-2, 5-2, maybe it'll give them an extra week. Jim Bork, no relation to Phil Bork. He says, I love it when you rant. My rants are usually about people driving. I mean, I have the rant. I mean, I don't know what irritates me more. Stuff that happens in the turlet. I call it turlet like Archie Bunker. Stuff that bikers in this town irritate the living crap out of me. And how people drive. Here's a weird one. I guess this will be a semi-rant. The St. Louis Press Box. Tremendous place. I don't know if I told this one. Oh, whatever. It has 2 toilets, 2 urinals. One of the urinals is so low to the ground that you can't even reach it. You'd have to get on your knees. So you have urinal, commode. And wouldn't you know, some dude has to come next to me and like squat with the little urinal. I don't understand that. Urinals are disgusting. It just sprays pee all over you. Disgusting. Mike Evans asks, is Andy Dalton on par with Big Ben? Not quite yet. Give me a playoff win, then I will take it. But Andy Dalton's looking good. Andy Dalton's a good quarterback, but it all comes down to winning in the playoffs. Winning, what is he, 0-4? You're never going to be considered good, sort of like Clint Hurdle. Clint Hurdle could be considered a good manager until he gets to the dance with the Buccos. It's always going to be question marks. Rate in order of the 4 court QBs in the North. Mike Evans, you must be loving the show. I'd say Ben, right now? Right now, considering who's playing. I don't even know who's playing for Cleveland. Josh McCown? Yeah. So it'd have to be Dalton, Flacco, McCown, Vic. If you throw Ben in there, Ben would be at the top and push everybody down. You go from the best quarterback to the worst. I don't know if there's any other question. I don't know who's going to get cut when Bryant. I don't think it's Dree Archer. Everybody thinks it's Dree Archer. I don't think it's Dree Archer. I can cut about 12 other people on that team before it's Dree Archer. By the way, Chris Adamski, Buzzsaw Adamski, talked to Chickalo today. He would not say if – he said he couldn't say if another team was trying to sign him to their 53-man roster by the Steelers – activated him, but if you activate a guy off a practice squad just to make him an inactive, pretty good chance possibility that somebody else is trying to pick him up. Alrighty now. We got a couple more minutes here, and I have to talk Josh Taylor. What's up, Josh? You've been jack of all trades today, huh? You're producing, you're hosting, you're drinking Mountain Dew.
Drinking Mountain Dew because I got to go do more later. I got to go be on TV tonight.
You're a TV guy.
Yeah.
That should be perfect. Hey, by the way, it's Josh's birthday today.
Oh, it was yesterday.
Oh, whatever. Everybody wish Josh. I was at the Red Lobster the other day, and that could be my rant, too. I said I didn't have any rants. Why do you feel the need to have somebody come over and you start singing to you, happy, happy birthday, Red Lobster? Is that just to embarrass somebody? One time, Scott Brown, we were out on a road trip, and I knew what he was doing. And I said, you better not go tell her it wasn't even my birthday, but he wanted somebody to come over.
That sounds like Brownie.
Yeah, so I caught him in the past there. I caught him before that happened. So, I don't even know what to talk to you. I don't know if I want to talk Bucks since there's no Buck show after this.
No, but Jake Arrieta will officially be in town tomorrow. So
I love his tweets.
Pirate fans officially start your screaming when he arrives in town tomorrow.
My goodness. I mean, give the guy some credit. Those are some classic tweets.
Oh, his tweets are fantastic.
I love it.
Those are great tweets. I love his tweets.
I was a little disappointed that he had to respond to somebody called the Parrot Parody or something like that.
Yeah, he picked like the dumbest of all
guys. Yeah,
accounts,
why don't you like talk to like Bob Pomp or something? Fecko, that would be something good to do.
Can you imagine a Pompeyetta Arrieta beef? Oh God, people would turn.
I would love to like Pomp go raise it. RIAZZZZZZ it at Jake Arrieta 34.
Pittsburgh fans would hate Arrieta for that. You don't mess with the Pomp.
I'll ask you this: I mean, is playoff experience mean anything? I mean, you want to let yourself believe that it does, but I remember when Garrett Cole was pretty doggone good 2 years ago, and he didn't have an ounce of playoff experience.
Playoff experience doesn't mean everything, but I think having a good or bad playoff track record does mean something. For instance,
yeah, I was hoping.
Arrieta does not have any playoff experience, but Garrett Cole does, and he also has a good playoff track record. Madison Bumgarner, before last year in the wild card game, had a good playoff track record, but Clayton Kershaw, on the other hand, does not have a good playoff track record. Even though he's a really good regular season pitcher, not a great postseason pitcher.
I mean, he doesn't have any Arrieta.
No. Arrieta has not pitched in
a
postseason game.
2 years ago, Garrett Cole had none either.
This is true.
And he did quite well.
This is true, but he has put together quite the playoff track record. Started a couple games in the postseason, done pretty well.
Now, what do you do? This is regardless of what Clint Hurdle does, he's going to be criticized.
Yes.
Harrison, Pedro, Rammy. What do you do?
Harrison at third, Pedro at first.
Explain.
For two reasons. One, Alvarez, if Arrieta does happen to make a mistake in a place where Pedro Alvarez can hit it, it's going to go very far. And you want that capability, considering he's pretty much the only guy in the lineup that can do that.
Doesn't he have a reverse split, too, man, with righties, lefties?
He does. Arrieta's
tougher against righties.
He's tougher against righties than he is against lefties.
That weird delivery, I would imagine.
The delivery and the cut fastball that he throws, that'd be another reason, too. Harrison over Ramirez, Harrison's swing is shorter. He can work to the opposite field. If you're going to face a guy like Arrieta, the best thing you could do is shorten your swing, try to work the opposite field. Harrison's good at doing that, better than Ramirez is. Ramirez's swing is longer, and it's slower, and it's even slower than it used to be because he's 37 years old. So I think Harrison at third, and Alvarez at first.
I think he might defer to the experience. I have a feeling Pedro is getting his butt on the bench. I don't agree. I think Pedro should be playing.
I agree.
Like, just because you said, but I have a feeling he's not going to at all. I don't know. How do you approach Arrieta? Do you go up there and just hack, hack, hack because you know he's going to be around the thing? Or you try around the zone, or do you you try to work his number to get to that bullpen? That's a fine line.
I think
there,
it's
man.
Both, actually. I think you...
You better get on him early or you're not going to have a shot.
Well, the thing is...
Early in the count.
You have to wait for him to make a mistake. And the problem is he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So if you're going to try to beat him, you want to look in one area of the strike zone. And whether he throws it in that first pitch or in the eighth pitch, that's the area you want to try to attack until you get two strikes, obviously. In which case, you have to fend for yourself. But I'd say look at one area of the strike zone, try to attack him there if you think he's going to go there, and then jump on him, regardless if it's the first pitch of the at-bat or the fourth pitch. Go after that one area and try to exploit it, especially if you're a left-hander.
I think it's a tough task for the Buccos, but I think it's a 50-50 proposition.
Well, it's funny because people talk about how good Arrieta is, but they forget Garrett Cole's pretty damn good too.
Yeah, plus you know what? I like the fact that they what did they go up against him 4 or 5 times this year, Arrieta?
They did.
You're not going to be surprising anybody. You know how they say, well, he's through the lineup the second time, so they're getting a better look at him. Well, you know what? They saw him probably – they probably have 30, 40 at-bats against him. Mm-hmm. You know who's going to have to step up, who typically he hasn't in playoffs, is 22. McCutchen.
He's the best guy that hits against Arrieta.
He needs to be a superstar.
Now, at the same time, while he's the guy that hits best against Arrieta in the lineup, it's also a lot easier for Arrieta to pitch around him because there's no Jung-Ho Gung. You're probably your best form hitter out of the group is not there. So you're looking at either Neil Walker hitting four if Ramirez doesn't start, which might be the case, or you may be even looking at Starling Marte hitting four if Ramirez doesn't start. So that's when it becomes interesting as far as how you face Andrew McCutchen, because in which case, if it's a Neil Walker hitting four, Arrieta might seriously pitch around McCutchen and try to deal with the guy behind him instead, which could really render McCutchen, you know, useless at the plate. But if he pitches around McCutchen and puts McCutchen on,
I don't know if
that gives McCutchen opportunities to steal. And the best way to beat Arrieta is to steal on him.
Well, the best way to steal against the Cubs is to have Lester pitch.
That too. Well, Lester and Arrieta. Lester is easy to steal on.
He doesn't throw the first.
He doesn't. Well, unless you're Starling Marte and you get yourself caught. But Lester is easy to steal on. Arrieta may be easier to steal on than Lester. He's allowed, 26, 27 stolen bases and only caught 5 guys stealing. So. Getting the scoring position against Arrieta and maybe try to bloop one in or break it back to
like
right field.
The Buccos are any better catching runners stealing.
This is true.
They're terrible.
This could be one of those plays where – and it could easily turn into a situation where one of those teams is trying to steal and the other team's catcher airmails one in the second inner center field for another base. So.
Okay, you're doing TV tonight.
Yep.
You have your you got your best bib and tucker laid out?
I do.
Any pink going on since it's – Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
You know what? I thought about doing that. I'm saving that for tomorrow. I'm saving pink for tomorrow. I'm going to go with that. I'm going with a brown. I'm trying to avoid any red and blue since the Cubs are coming to town.
Really?
Yeah. You'd be surprised how people get on. Why are you wearing a red blue shirt with a red tie when the Cubs are playing? It's terrible.
Only thing that's clean.
Yeah. They don't care. People don't care. They actually think you mapped this out on purpose and picked the colors. Because based on who's playing. Meanwhile, we pick what we look good at.
So you pick the fall colors because it's fall?
Going with fall colors, little blue, little brown action.
How's that makeup rolling?
My makeup's always perfect. It's always on point. I take pride in my makeup.
Square, tie square, whatever.
Didn't go with the pocket square. I couldn't find one that matched. Yeah, couldn't find one that matched.
No, I'm seeing a lot of
this. I'll have one tomorrow that matches, though.
I saw one on NFL Network the other day, and it had nothing to match with anything the guy was wearing. It was like he pulled out an old hanky and just threw it in there.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, I mean, some people will do it if it's like you have kind of if you're wearing like black and white on gray and maybe you have like a splash of color pocket square, that might work. Otherwise, it looks kind of weird, but some people will pull that out of nowhere.
All right, I don't know what's coming up next. We're done?
We are done for the day.
We're done for the day. We will be back at it tomorrow with the something happening in the morning, probably at 9 o'clock, right?
It will be tomorrow is Tuesday, so I believe...
Well, check our website, even if Josh Taylor doesn't know. Somebody, there has to be some kind of round table or
it's
something.
It's Ike Taylor Show tomorrow morning.
Oh, Ike Taylor Show.
It's Ike Taylor Show.
Tomorrow morning, 9
John
to
Harris.
10. With John Harris. It's the... I thought my phone was ringing here. I thought I butt called somebody. John Harris Show with Ike Taylor. I guess Ike Taylor Show featuring John Harris tomorrow. Then we'll have Kenny Laird and the guys on at 10. And we'll be back here. We're going to actually have all three individuals in studio for the Steelers roundtable on Thursday. Steelers don't practice until late Thursday. Allows us all to be here. It will be a freaking beast of a show. So we'll hear you Thursday here on the Steelers Roundtable. We'll be back here. I'll be in San Diego next week. Josh will be running the ship and tossing me some softballs out from here. So tune in next week. Thanks for joining us. This is the Cavalli Show on Triple Live Radio.